Blog Talk Radio.
B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me.
Radio. That's Go Fish that sing that song. And in a little bit, we will bring on our guest this week, which is Jovan McKenzie. And in case you don't know, he's got a lot of albums. He's an independent artist, rapper, Christian. And some of them are the Narrow Road, Strangers and Pilgrims, the Isaiah 6 Complex, the Narrow Road, Famine, and Seduction of Self. And we will also play some of those songs later. And I want to see, make sure that we got our guest on. Let's see if this is him. I'm guessing it is. Here we go. Hello?
Yes, hey, how you doing?
Is this Jovan?
Yes, this is him.
Okay, thank you. Welcome to the show. Thank you for being on. What I'd like to do is have you introduce yourself for the guests, if you can do that.
Okay. Yes, my name is Jovan McKenzie. I'm an independent recording artist. I'm a Christian reformed rapper. And my goal, of course, in my music is to glorify Christ and to reach the lost and also edify Christians. And I am currently at a church plant in just started in Fall River, Massachusetts. I'm doing an internship there for a year for church planting. So me and my family are starting a new transition in our life. So I'm, part music, part, ministry.
And I was wondering how you got your start in the reform music.
Yeah, pretty much. I was when I first became a Christian, I was more of I guess you would say Pentecostal word of faith, and you know, the Lord was teaching me little by little. I was coming out of that movement and that type of doctrine to where the Lord started opening up my eyes. Me and a brother of mine that lives in California named Ivy, we were just studying the scriptures, and I was seeing a lot of stuff that the Lord was opening my eyes to. I didn't know what it was. Like, man, God chose us and different stuff. And I end up getting introduced to the doctrines of grace. And because at first I thought I was like, man, maybe I'm in a cult or something. Maybe I'm, you know, maybe this is Satan speaking to me. Yeah, because I didn't know anybody believed that stuff. And Ivy was there believing with me as well. He was believing it. And we're like, man, did you know the Bible says Romans 9 and different stuff? And we thought we were crazy. We ran into a brother that we knew before that was like, yeah, our church preaches that. And at the time, we had left the old churches we went to, and we were just like, nah, man, all these churches are demonic, so there can't be a church that actually preaches this stuff. And we thought he was just saying that so he could get us to come join his church. You know, so we were like, we didn't believe him. Yeah. So long story short, we ended up hearing about MacArthur and Piper and R.C. Sproul and just a lot of these guys, Charles Spurgeon, looking at church history and stuff. And we started, you know, we put a name to it, like, you know, a name to the face. You know, it was like, man, like, so that's kind of how that happened. And by God's grace, it was in the 2008, beginning of 2009 is when I came to Reform, the knowledge of Reformed theology. And then that's when my music, by God's grace, my music started changing to more of that Reformed style.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because actually used to be in a cultic like church before, and I was kind of afraid. Like, well, first I learned from I got saved from I was listening to Ray Comfort and Kirk Cameron. They're doing the one called "Hell's Best Kept Secret" and "True and False Conversion," and then it was kind of like you. I had that thing from the past where I'm like, I don't want to get involved with a cult or anything. But then I learned after a while that they are for real and they're good teaching. And even now, like, a church I'm in called Reconciled Christian Fellowship, they lean towards more Reformed, and I like that too. And it's cool. It's like it helped. It's very comforting because to know about God's sovereignty, and that's it gives you like the assurance. Like, you know, when you start to doubt and you're like thinking, no, God's in control. It says He's the author and finisher of our faith. So it's like you can't leave even if you want to. It's God's keeping you and control in His grace. And well, also I want to know, let's see, well, you did say that that Ivy, you told me that he lives in Hemet, California. Where did you meet him?
I'm currently right now, I'm visiting family. I'm in Jacksonville, Florida. This is actually where I met him at. I met him here in 2006. We were both doing, you know, Christian positive type music, and we were both in the Pentecostal, apostolic type, word of faith type doctrine. And we met each other in the parking lot of Walmart. We were both had our CDs and whatnot. And we ended up meeting each other, like, oh, man, you rap? I rap, too. You know, I do it for Jesus. I'll stay here. And then we started rapping some stuff. I let him hear some of my stuff. He let me hear some of his. And just by God's grace, ever since that day, we became friends. So we met, started hanging out every now and then and stuff like that. And then it was funny. So God used that relationship. And then we got reformed. God started opening our eyes around the same time. We both left our churches around the same time. Then we both got reformed. Just a lot of stuff by God's grace. We got married close to the same time. So I think I got married like 6 months later after him. So just by God's grace, definitely, you know, he's definitely shown himself faithful in our relationship, and I'm definitely grateful for that.
Let's see. I picked some songs to play of yours. Let's see. Yeah, you had, like I said, the albums before. What was the order? Are they all in order? Because it says Narrow Road, Strangers and Pilgrims, the Isaiah Safe Complex, the Narrow Road, Famine, and Self-Addiction. Are those all, like, in the order they came out?
No, Narrow Road is first. Then I came out with Isaiah 6 Complex. Then I came out with Strangers and Pilgrims. And then it was Narrow Road, Famine, and then Seduction of Self.
How recent is the Seduction of Self? Was that one?
Seduction of Self came out in, I believe we released it in November, the beginning of November or the end of October in last year, 2013.
Oh, okay. Are you working on any new ones right now?
Yeah, actually, I just released an album called All Hell. It's on iTunes. That's the only album that's not available for free.
I saw
iTunes
that, the picture of it. Yeah. I have that on my webpage right now.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, so that one, and then I'll probably be working on some music towards the end of the year, maybe. Early next year, I'll probably start working on some more. So right now, I'm just really focused on as far as the ministry and whatnot, as far as my new church home and stuff like that. So,
what kind of ideas or vibe, like what is All Hell, that one's supposed to be about?
All Hell is just about... number one, it's for Christians. We know that we worship Christ. We've been bought by his blood. We've been, we are no longer slaves of sin, but we're slaves of righteousness. And so all hell for the Christian is just everyday life. You know, we hail Christ in all that we do, acknowledging that he is our King. He is our sovereign Lord. And so whether it's me loving my wife or somebody loving their children or whoever it may be, or, you know, me honoring government or honoring my parents, or a Christian, having integrity on the job, and all these things, and everything we do, every year of life, we honor Christ. We're supposed to honor Christ, and so we acknowledge that he's King and he's Lord over our lives. And so I just wanted to kind of communicate that, as far as like, look who God is. He's a holy, righteous, yet loving and forgiving and merciful God that we serve, but also for the pagan, because we know that Scripture commands all men to repent, and that, the nations and pagans and wherever they're at, those men who are not converted, they are commanded to bow the knee to Christ. And I like what Paul Washer said. He said, I'm not going to be foolish enough to ask you to make Jesus your Lord. He's already Lord. So since he's Lord, you need to act like it. You need to accept that and agree to his terms. You know, it's not half and half. You know, you tell God what you want, and, you know, it's not a negotiation. Christ is Lord. He's reigning. He commands you to repent. And so it's all hell in that sense to the pagan, to where, us Christians in love are calling them to repentance. So it's kind of a dual thing where it's, you know, everyone is supposed to hail Christ, but we know only the true believer does. And our goal is to preach the gospel and see the non-believer hopefully become converted and hail Christ with all the other believers as well, too. So that's just kind of the concept behind the album.
Yeah, in case people don't know, it's spelled, it sounds like H-E-L-L, but it's H-A-I-L.
Yeah, like All Hail the King, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's coming soon. No matter how long it is, it's still soon compared to God.
Amen.
Let's see. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to, I picked some songs to play, so I'm going to play like one of those at a time, and maybe you could talk a little bit about them after they're done.
Okay.
Let's see. The first one is called For Granted, and this is from the Narrow Road album, and here you go.
In the United States, it's a whole lot of grace, and we all we do is take taking for granted. Don't understand it. Got more, got jewels, got money, even freedom, but you're gone. It's far from my heart in the United States. It's a whole lot of great. And we all we do is take it for granted. What are we doing? People overseas are dying, but we hardly ever see persecution.
I really don't know what to say. I really don't even know where to start. Like, man, I don't even know what to pray. Guess I'll just say what's on my heart. People dying overseas, and we preaching prosperity. We giving to charities. We think life sweet like Sara Lee. Hey, I took my family to Applebee's while people ain't even got food to eat. From that moment, I had to grieve, cause in the United States, we are truly free. Most of the people that trust in Jesus over there ain't even got food and sneakers. This should grieve us. We got feelers. We got Nikes and we got Adidas. We got Reeboks. If we was facing persecution like them, would we trust Christ? Probably not. The sacrifice you put your faith in Jesus over there, you probably die of starvation or be shot. Enemies fly. You get caught with a Bible and a bam, you get shot with a rifle. And I don't know if you feel like I do. I'm grieving the spirit. We need a revival. In America, they telling us to sow a seed. Guess they don't know about the persecution overseas. They say you cursed if you in poverty. You suffer with Christ and you reign with them about to fall asleep. Christian walk ain't never been easy. It's a narrow road. I just thought I'd remind ya. I heard about saints burned in India. Plus I heard about some Christians getting killed out in China.
In the United States, it's a whole lot of grace. And all we do is take it for granted. Don't understand it. Got cars, got jewels, got money, even freedom. But God is far from our hearts. In the United States, it's a whole lot of grace. And
the home of the brave, help me to make sense of this. Some so-called Christians in America live like God don't even exist. Taking the freedom the Father has given as an excuse for a nominal living. The goal of the gift is to use it so the world sees a Christ who is phenomenally risen. We can learn a valuable lesson from my friends overseas, like how to live honoring God in spite of sickness or disease. I've seen little kids cramped up in a home made out of cardboard. But when it came time to worship, they still cried out to our Lord. Over here we're comfortable saying, yeah, I'm saved in Christ, I'm free, without partaking in the true freedom found in Luke 9 verse 23. If Christ is the main attraction, tell me what's up with that action that prevents us from living completely whole instead of like fractions. Let's keep it honest, everyone gon' live eternally. Some gon' be in heaven and others will suffer earnestly. If you claim his name but your life don't change, eternal separation is close like point blank.
In the United States, it's a whole lot of grace. And all we do is take it for granted. Don't understand it. Got cars, got jewels, got money, even freedom. But God is far from our hearts. In the United States, it's a whole lot of grace. And all we do is take it for granted. What are we doing? People overseas are dying, but we hardly ever.
We hardly ever see persecution in the United States because we're not living godly. Because they that live godly shall be persecuted for their faith. We don't want persecution to stop, but we pray that they continue to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that their work is not in vain. We need a revival, knowing the Lord, the God of grace, help us in the United States to be prepared to be persecuted and help our brothers and sisters to know.
It's your grace, your grace,
your grace.
It's a fit,
it's a fit.
It's a fit.
Amen.
Amen.
That is Jovah McKenzie. The song For Granted. We got him as a gift. That's from the album Narrow Road. Are you still there with us?
Yes, I'm definitely here, yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering if you could just talk about that song a little bit.
Okay, yeah, For Granted, that was off of my first album as a Reformed Christian. And just really was just trying to vent and just kind of share my heart. I didn't want to create a, you know, I wasn't trying to create a legalism of people feeling less than, like I mentioned, Applebee's and stuff. You know, I didn't want people to feel like, man, we can't enjoy ourselves and we can't enjoy the blessings and liberty that God has given us. It was more of just a heart check of even while we're enjoying that, you know, just look at how much we complain, look at how much we're ungrateful, and we have so much more than the average Christian overseas or the average person in general overseas, and just to kind of take inventory of our own hearts and our own lives and you know, say, hey, are we really living, you know, to please Christ, or are we just trying to get our best life now and just try to live it up now while we can, or are we really living sacrificial? You know, are we storing our treasures up on, you know, on earth, or are we storing our treasure up, like Christ said we should be doing, and storing it up in heaven? So I just kind of wanted to vent on that and just kind of share my heart. Like, man, I see, you know, we're just over here just having a great time, and there's people that are really suffering. We don't pray for them. We don't try to encourage them. You know, we're over here complaining about every little thing. We don't realize how good we have. And so, you know, I was just trying to vent and just really, you know, see Christ glorified even in that, and just to kind of bring up some awareness of, hey, we do have, let's thank God for the blessings we have, but we, at the same time, we do have Christians, Christian brothers and sisters overseas who are suffering, truly suffering physical pain, jail, and these things, or even death because of the gospel. And so let's keep them in mind even while we're over here in America, far from that. So that was just kind of my heart behind the song.
Yeah, it's true, and it could also remind us to, even like it says, for granted, be thankful for the things we have, like even like a thing like a computer. Some people, like, there's many people other places that don't even have something like a computer to go on there and go on Facebook or whatever, anything like that. So it's a good reminder to be thankful for that, and yeah, that other people are going through lots of things more for like the actual persecution, like we'll think, oh, like a little thing, like maybe like somebody treats us mean or something, but like some people are getting like beaten and in prison, yeah, for the gospel. And we haven't had it yet, but I think it's I think it's coming to the U.S. more and more. So we gotta get out the gospel while we can, while we still have that freedom to give it without people like, you know, really persecuting us. Just get it out. We still do it anyway, even if they did persecute. But I mean, especially now that it's more free to do it now, we gotta do it while we can. Yeah, that's a good song. That's from The Narrow Road, and it's For Granted. And I got another song that I wanted to play. I think I have two more that I'm going to play. This one is called Famine in the Land, and from The Narrow Road Famine album. Here you go.
I can tell you with absolute certainty that at the end of this age, the Bible says, there is coming in the last days a famine in the land for the hearing of the Word of God. The Apostle Paul says that men will fall away from the faith and give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. And Jesus himself said in the times of the end that there will be Christ and false Christ who will arise in your midst. Perhaps even in this very day in which we live, we are living in such days of rampant famine among the people of God for the hearing of the Word of God. There is this gathering storm, and I fear that we are in its very midst.
Welcome to the narrow road, this is part two. On part one, remember I give you hard truth. But now I'm back again, cause they still preaching lies. The people bound why? Cause they believe in lies. And know we can't live peacefully. When people deny Christ, they get see, man, they easily. Crepping underwear, introducing animal doctrine secretly. Flesh, John and Baptist called them a brood of vipers. And they got daily bites, so please don't receive they venom. They give them members of false assurance by making them repeat a simple prayer. Easy believism, and they preach that you can live your best life now. You can write them checks right now. But God knows that you see death right now. It's so obvious we in a famine. They preach godliness leads to mammon. They heap teachers after themselves. Shaped after that wealth. But that I can't stand them. They not standing on a rock called a sandman. Cause they gonna stand not on a rock standing. They take multiple trips to the Hamptons. It's a recession but they live in their mansions. And they cop $1 million apartments. Plus you know they shop got the finest of garments. And now they putting ATMs in the church. Cause they got a million heretical things you can purchase.
Now, this right here is sick then. Don't nobody wanna hear conviction. It's just because they hear decisions. So the truth they don't wanna hear is mentioned.
So they keep on ignoring the Bible. They ignorantly waiting for a revival. He say he the pastor, he's more like an idol. The people really need to run for their survival. Cause they worship the golden calf. They don't really want Christ, they want loads of cash. Life is a vapor, it goes so fast. And when they die, they gotta face Jehovah's wrath.
Travel to virtually any city in America and try to find a church that preaches the full counsel of God and that preaches the Word of God, and you will drive past church after church after church after church, and the larger it is, the more anemic it is, until you will finally find some small church on the periphery of the beaten path in that city until you find a place where the Word of God is preached. John MacArthur told me recently, when I fly into a town, I step off the plane, they put me in a car, and I drive past church after church after church of massive proportions until they bring me to a small little church where the Word of God is honored. We are living in days in which there is a famine in the land for the hearing of the Word of God.
That's Jehovah McKenzie here, Famine in the Land from Nero's Famine album. And Jehovah and I have been through this myself. It was actually before I was a Christian, though, but, you know, at the time I probably thought I was into a church that got into the, they call it the purpose-driven life with, you know, Rick Warren. And that thing got all big. It's like the secret sensitive church when trying to just get people to like the church and come, but not really like preaching the gospel. And like you mentioned about little churches, it seems like the ones that are smaller and less people are more focused.
Yeah, definitely. You know, that song, you know, Famine in the Land, you know, I pretty much wanted to just convey my heart and my burden for, you know, because that's the intro to the Famine album, and just say, hey, like, you know, I'm back again because they're still preaching lies, like I say in the song. You know, there's false teachers, there's false gospel still going out, and they're unashamed of their false gospel. They're unashamed of their false Jesus and this get rich, you know, come to Jesus, everything will be better, you know, you won't have any problems, whatever, you know, you can just kind of pay Jesus off and everything will be better, and you can, you know, just be a good person and Jesus accepts you, you know, just work salvation. And so I really wanted to just address that on the album and on the song, and, you know, these preachers that are, the Bible says in Peter, 2 Peter, that they will make merchandise of you, and a lot of people, including myself, have seen that where these preachers, you turn on some of these popular TV networks and you see the preachers just pimping the church, pimping the body of Christ and pimping those who profess to be in the body of Christ. And, you know, God told me to tell you to send your last $1,000 that, you know, that you need to pay your rent. Just he wants to see how faithful you are. And the people are giving, you know, foolishly but ignorantly, thinking that, you know, they just want to honor God. And so they're sending them their money, and these people are going out buying Bentleys or whatnot, but they're not teaching them the word of God. And so they're just robbing the people, just like Jesus told the Pharisees that they robbed widows out of their houses. They didn't care about the widows or the orphans or the poor. They cared about themselves. And that's what I see with a lot of pastors today, especially the more prominent, rich, popular ones. They're, you know, they're preaching another gospel. And so I just wanted to kind of talk about that. And like you said, and they're not all big churches, of course, but they're, you know, there's a lot of them that, you know, they're preaching this, you know, they don't want to offend people. They don't want to offend sinners. They won't touch on homosexuality. They won't touch on fornication. They won't touch on Jesus being the only way because they don't want to offend people, and they don't want to lose that check that's coming every week. So these pastors, a lot of you guys have been to solid seminaries, but when you listen to their preaching, it sounds like they don't have a clue what they're talking about, and a lot of it is because they are people pleasers. And so, you know, I just wanted to kind of address that on that song and the album, I Do Even More, just having a burden for God's sheep, loving the sheep, and wanting to see them excel in sound doctrine and not doctrines of demons.
Yeah, it also goes a little bit with what we were talking about before about persecution. Jesus said that they will hate you because of me, that because of him, because we're with him, that you will be hated because of that, that there will be persecution, the bad things that come. And so that's a false message, that saying that, oh, come to Jesus, you're just going to get health and wealth and everything. And before I was Christian, I used to watch TBN a lot. It's, you know, the Trinity Broadcasting Network. They got a lot of that on there. It's kind of irony, though, that actually got saved because that's when Ray Comfort was on there. So there's a little bit of actually good stuff, but most of it is really bad on that channel, like with all the, like you said, the prosperity teaching, they call it.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, praise God for opening the eyes to that. And, I praise God for Ray Comfort, Kirk Cameron. Those guys are a blessing to the body of Christ.
Yeah, they came back and showed people that how you got to show them, because the people think naturally that they are a good person. They think, maybe someone like Hitler was bad, but they don't realize that even one sin is bad. It's the infinite offense against an infinite holy God that they don't even realize sometimes that even that's enough. They think, I'm not a rapist or something, but you're hating something. You might hate somebody. You might be like angry without right cause. Like that's like murder of the heart, that God sees past even what humans see. Like humans might just see like the on the outside, but God sees what's going inside of you and what's going on and your motives. So that's what people gotta be aware of that, and that's what's good about what Ray Comfort, Kirk Cameron, they showed that people need to see it and realize that they are sinners so that they go to the cross. Sorry, what did you say?
No, I was saying that's absolutely true.
Yeah. But thanks. And I got one more song so that we can talk about. This one is yours, and it says featuring Ivy, I think it's Hisson. Give an account, and it's from the Isaiah 6 complex. So here this one goes, here on Truth Be Told Radio.
For God has not merely given us Jesus Christ, he's given us all things. And because there isn't enough joy in the house of God, we need entertainment. Because entertainment is the devil's substitute for joy. Because there isn't enough power in the house fancy show on TV.
It's hard living in this crazy world that we live in. Wow. Folks in religion confuse obedience with legalism. They be like, see, he tripping. But I'm like, really, I ain't. I'm trying to be in full submission. That's right, your boy's a saint. But some of these rappers, these Christian rappers, they got it twisted. Thinking that cause we under grace that they can just go on sinning. And they be on Twitter and Facebook promoting worldly movies. And these movies rated R. Oh, now you wanna pray to God. I know you think that I'm tripping, you like he's crazy, but no, I'm not crazy at all. I know you see him on HDR, yeah, they be posting blogs, talking about I bought Jay-Z album, and I'm thinking how come and how can this album bring a man out of sin? You better come out of sin before you cast in the outer darkness. You say, well, I'm a Christian, but you promote worldly artists. It's time to repent now before it's too late, it's too fast. You gotta give an account for how you abuse grace. Nah, this ain't ministry, this is an industry, and I can see the enemy creeping like he's in Eden, deceiving like he did Eve. They ate and saw the nakedness and tried to hide it with leaves. We do the same thing, we disobey the king. He told us to preach the gospel, we doing other things to try and draw the lost. Man, we got other methods. See, we don't preach the cross, but we sure living reckless. And nowadays we want glory for serving the Lord. Only Jesus is stellar, we don't need stellar awards. Tell me, in your competition, God isn't glorified. Your flesh should be mortified, your pride crucified. It's a lot of compromise, I see a lot of snakes. Yeah, we can go and support sin, that's right, we under grace. I pray that you repent before it's too late, it's too fast. You gotta give an account for how you abuse grace.
Yeah.
Churches, I mean a lot of buildings that compromise with the culture. That's why them folk be chilling, but they have secret sins. But they love their pastor's message, cause he don't rebuke sin. He loves to preach on blessings. So now you know why there is no conviction in their music. It's full of works of the flesh, but people bobbing to it. It's man's admonition, and man has to shine. I'm hearing Christians stealing secular rappers' rhymes. They make excuses saying they're peering into the music, and God does give us grace, but how we love to abuse it. They say they peering in, but dog, you bought that album. I know they getting mad, just mad that I'm talking about them. Jesus is coming back, it's time we get it right. We need to cry out for mercy, we need to look to Christ. I pray that we repent before it's too late. We're too faced, we gotta give an account for how we abuse grace.
Yeah.
I think before we point a finger at the world, we better turn to the church and say, look, we better all get sackcloth and ashes and humble ourselves and say, Almighty God, 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 God.
still there?
Oh, sorry. I didn't turn the mute off.
Okay,
so that was used with the Ivy Hisson, Give an Account. The song is in Isaiah 6 Complex. And the one that got me is the part about our idols being, the idols we have are in our minds, not like it says the Hindus have, like maybe they might have ones that you can see, but ours is inside.
That song right there, like you said, just, you know, we may not have a physical idol, but we have idols of our heart. And, you know, even in our Christian liberties, you know, I praise God for Christian liberty, and I definitely one who believes in that Christians have liberty. But Christians are also called to walk in love. You know, you have weaker brothers, and there are a lot of legalistic people out there that mask as the weaker brothers. And we have to have discernment to decide who's really a weaker brother according to Scripture and who's just being a Pharisee of, you know, cannot, taste not, touch not, want not, stuff like that. But, you know, as far as that song, I just wanted to kind of challenge people to be like, hey, let's, you know, including myself, like, man, like, what are we doing? Like, we're promoting the filth of the world. You know, you have these rappers that are coming out and their albums are filth. You know, it's one thing to come, it's one thing to, you know, maybe behind the scenes, if you think you're mature enough or whatever and you want to listen to see what the perspective is, and you can listen to that and be like, man, you know, pray for that person or however you want to do it. But just to be acting as if that's, you know, that somehow is okay, that, you know, let's go ahead and promote that to the body. Let's go ahead and get the body to support this guy, this filthy guy with a filthy mouth, filthy message, promoting sin, glorifying sin, promoting things that Christ hates. Just to, you know, put that out there and act like that's okay. You know, obviously I disagree with that, and, you know, just wanted to kind of, you know, talk about it and just say, hey, man, let's really consider what we're doing. You know, God told us to preach the gospel, you know, just like God told Adam not to eat the fruit, but he ate it anyway, and God tells us to preach the gospel. But, you know, like I said, we're coming up with other methods, like you said earlier, whether it be seeker-driven or whatnot. You know, let's give people free coffee, and hopefully they'll turn to Jesus. But it's like that coffee can be the best coffee ever made, but if you don't give them the gospel, they're not turning to Jesus. You know, so God has given us the way to see souls saved, and that's through his gospel, which is the power of God. That's why Paul is unashamed in Romans 1:6. But we want to do, you know, you go out there to a graveyard and you set up a, you know, you start serving food at a graveyard, or you start playing some really great music, or just being real friendly. That's not going to make nobody rise from the dead, because they're dead. So no matter what you do out there, you dig up their body, you shake them, they're gone. So nothing can happen unless it's a work of God that supernaturally awake somebody, like he did with Lazarus. And that's the same thing with lost souls, you know, this seeker driven movement and all this other type of stuff, which is just of the flesh. That's not going to, not only is it nowhere in Scripture, but that's not going to resurrect a dead soul, somebody who's dead in trespasses and sins. It's only by the preaching of the gospel. And so I just kind of wanted to make that clear on there, and just really, you know, in a loving way, as loving as possible, just really wanted to just challenge people to think about what we're doing as a church.
That's good. That's one reason, like the song. And also, I was thinking about the mentioning of like different people that even like celebrities, like Christians always want to jump on the wagon when they see a celebrity say, I'm a Christian. But then there's people like, okay, there's like Beyonce or there's Justin Bieber. They say, someone says, they say they're a Christian. I'm like, they can say that all they want, but their life is shown two different things than what they're saying.
Right.
And that's what's funny. But I think we need a little bit more discernment in that area, like not to jump on anyone who says that they're a Christian when their life is showing like way totally different thing than what they're saying.
That's right.
Yeah. And I was wondering, you talked about that we came from Pentecostal and then went to learning more about reform. I was wondering, but like, how did you first became a Christian? Could you talk about that a little bit?
Yes, I grew up in a Christian. I don't want to say a Christian household, because none of us were really serving Jesus. But I grew up, my mom took us to church, me and my three other siblings, my little brother and my two little sisters. We grew up going to church, and every now and then we would go. And, you know, so that's what we knew. You know, you live kind of how you want during the week, but you make sure you honor God by going to church. And if you have a dollar or something or whatever, you give to God. You know, so that's kind of how I grew up, my mindset, just going to different churches, hearing stories about Jesus. I always believed it from a knowledge standpoint, like if you know, just like a fact, like if it's raining outside and you ask me, you know, is it raining, I could give you that fact. Like, yes, I could confirm. So as far as with Jesus, I always knew he was the way, he was the Son of God, he was all these different things that they preached at church. It just hadn't hit my heart. It didn't lead to orthopraxy. It didn't lead to a right relationship with God. And so as I got older, I was really rebellious. Just a knucklehead, typical sinner. You know, Ephesians 2, I was dead in my sins. Like I said, I grew up in church, so I knew the way I was living was wrong. But to many degrees, I didn't care. But I also knew about the sinner's prayer, and I knew a lot of churches that talked about it. So I always, you know, thought I could deceive God, like, hey, you know, right before I die, I could just say the sinner's prayer. Because, you know, I have free will, it's my choice. You know, so if that's the case, and I can manipulate God, I'll do it when I'm ready. You know, I'll just try to say, sometimes I would go to bed every night saying the sinner's prayer. You know what I'm saying? Like, just to try to manipulate God. Well, he's got to let me in. It's my choice. You know, I'm choosing him. One day, long story short, some time had passed. I was about 19, I believe, or 19 or 20, I think. Yeah, 19. And this was 2006. And I had got into some trouble because I was in the military for a little bit. I had got into some trouble, got locked up, and, you know, a lot of times in jail, people find, you know, jail time religion. They're like, okay, I'm going to serve you, Lord, and then when they get back out, they're living their life. Well, that's kind of how I was. Like, hey, man, I wasn't really thinking about it. I said, Lord, if you get me out of here, I'll serve you. And, you know, I was feeling like I was growing in jail. I was in there for a few weeks, and after that I got out, I was like, man, I'm freedom. Like, see y'all later, sign off, suckers, you know, doing my own thing. And pretty much Romans 4, I don't even think I knew that verse at the time, but where it says it's the goodness of God that should lead you to repentance, that's exactly how I got saved. When I looked at my life and I saw the fact that I was, you know, God was showing me how gracious he had been, not only keeping me alive, getting me out of jail, just all these different stuff that he did that I didn't deserve, all the times that I knew that I sinned against God and he didn't bring me to judgment. And just different things, temporal things, eternal things. I really was just like, wow, it was just his love that was just wooing me. It was almost like his love arrested me. Like I couldn't live that life no more. And ever since then, it was around the middle, I believe it was the middle of 2006. And I was a rapper at that time as well. So I told my friends, hey, you know, I'm going to be doing Christian music, or I'm not going to do this type of music. And they were like, man, yeah, it's just a phase. It'll wear out. And just by God's grace, he saved me around that time. And I stopped doing music for a while. Eventually, I picked it back up. I started writing positive because I didn't know too much about the Bible. And as I grew in doctrine, because I was watching a lot of TV, and kind of like what you said, when I first got saved, I was TV and everything because that's all I knew. I wasn't really in a church because I was an adult at the time. So I was watching a whole bunch of TV and Benny Hinn, you name it, all these different people. And then by God's grace, he started showing me, like I said before, that those doctrines were false. But my entry into Christ was through, was just God's goodness and him showing me that grace, you know, him showing me that I didn't deserve the blessings in my life and how time after time he was always there for me. And that really caused me to repent because I had knew about hell and stuff. And I just, you know, hell wasn't scary enough to stop me from sin. I love sin too much. But when I came across God's love and I really, for the first time, from not only a mental standpoint but a heart standpoint, realized, like, wow, Christ really loves me. Like, look what he's done. Look at what, not just on the cross, but look at the temporal things. Look how, you know, I mean, I remember riding around and you know, just doing a lot of dirt, you know, breaking the law a lot of times. And all those times I could have got caught, or all those times I could have been, judged or got killed or whatever, and God spared me. And so that's what really caused me to believe the gospel, and then here we are now talking by God's grace, 2014.
I just see that every day, like, God's kindness. It's like, you know, of course, one of the most thing is that he saved us and that we get to go to heaven and be with him, but also it's just like the everyday, the little things, like, it's just like that I see, like, that his kindness, his grace is, like, because we all deserve to even just die and go to hell. It just amazes me every day, like, his kindness and even that we don't even thank him enough for, or never can even thank him enough for what he's done, but have appreciation and want to live for him. And that's kind of like the thing where it says, by your works, it's like the works we do, like, is in appreciation of God, what he's done for us, his grace and forgiveness. It's just amazing. So it's good to hear that. That's one thing that helped bring you to Christ, that shows that, like you said, that it said that in the Bible. I think it says something like that his kindness leads us to understanding or something like that. And I think in the Bible.
Yeah, amen. God is good. Yeah, that's I think it is how it is for all of us. I know there's different types of ways as far as somebody can be just really convicted of their sin, which I was. But I was so focused on just knowing, like you said, that you don't deserve anything, and just being grateful of, like, wow, like, man, God, I know it's you sparing me. I don't want to take advantage of that. I don't want to, it wasn't a scared, straight type, you know, hell is real, oh my goodness, I'm going to hell. Even though I knew that was probably a reality, it was just the grace of God. It was just his, which it is for all of us. At the same time, it was just really just his love and knowing that I didn't deserve that. So I'm definitely grateful.
Yeah, for me, it was like, I felt like that was the kind of person that was never really that bad. Like, I didn't, like, you know, drink, smoke, or whatever, you know, the things that people think of bad. But that was really, it's self-righteousness that I had, that I had to see that I was bad, that just because I didn't do, like, all these big things that I think that people, like, other people would do, it's like, it's still a sin that I did that, when I saw, like I said, the Ten Commandments, like, that shows you, like, oh, yeah, you are bad. You're worse than you think, even. And so,
right.
Like, for me, like I said, it was self-righteousness that was big with me, that I had to be humbled to see that. And it was good too, because I you know how people have that thing they call it the altar call, and I was the person that would be like always going down, and it's like, oh, it doesn't seem to stick. And then finally when I understood that I was a sinner, and then what the gospel was, and then it was like, oh, just the light went on. It's just like all of a sudden it's like it just clicked. It's like, it's so weird, like, you just go from just not understanding, and then just God makes it clear.
Yeah, that's a blessing. I did that too. Altar calls and prayers. I did, you know, I might as well have been a Catholic. I did a whole bunch of stuff, and still wasn't right with God. But then it was just when I wasn't really looking for it, it just hit me. It just with God's grace, He quickened me, and. You know, he made it real, made it come alive, like you said in Ephesians 2. And, that's definitely my story.
I want to say that they can find you at Jova McKenzie, that's JovaMackenzie.com. And you're also on Facebook, and I think, are you on Twitter too?
Yeah. It's all Javon McKenzie, javonmckenzie.com. Facebook.com/ Javon McKenzie. Same with Twitter, Javon McKenzie.
Yeah, I want to thank you for being on Truth Be Told. I was wondering if there's any last words you'd like to, your chance to give the listeners before you go.
Yes, definitely. Number one, thank you for having me on your show. I definitely appreciate you reaching out and also, and you know, for the opportunity. And I'll keep you in my prayers. I ask that you do the same for me. And also just letting people know that they can go support my my newest album, All Hail, H-A-I-L, on iTunes or Amazon.com or Google Play or pretty much any place where you buy music online. They can support there. They can preview and listen if they like. I have some stuff on YouTube as well. And they can, you know, or they can even leave a donation at my website. I have free music. The albums that you played today, all the music you played today is free. Those five albums are free. So they can just download and they can leave a donation if they like or not. But either way, those albums are free. So want to be a blessing to that as well for anybody who may be listening or listen later that wants to get some free music, they can.
Yeah, even if they share it, that's still a free advertisement for you. Even if they just share it with somebody.
Amen.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you for being on my show. I appreciate it, too. Sometimes it's hard to get some people to be on a kind of small show, but it's still thankful to God that I have it, that I get to share the gospel with people and play some good music. I also play Shylin and Timothy Brindle and another one called Go Fish. So I'm thankful that they let me play their music with from Lamp Mode and the Go Fish guys. So you gave me permission to play yours, so I'll be playing yours more on here. So thanks for that, too.
Hey, no problem. Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
And you're welcome, and goodbye.
All right. God bless.
You too. And that was, once again, that was Javon McKenzie. And you can see his website, like you said, it has this five of his albums on there for free. And if you like it, you should donate, but you don't have to, but it'd be nice. And also, like you said, the newest album he's working on is called All Hail, and it's A-L-L-H-A-I-L. And, like, it's all, like, you know, like when you say, like, hell to sheep or hell to the king, like in this case, Jesus Christ. So check that out. And thank you for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. What we're going to do now is we're going to get back into the regular show and with some more music, like I mentioned before. But we're going to start off here with Answers in Genesis here on Truth Be Told Radio.
The Resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is Ken Ham, an Aussie-American with a passion for the Bible and the gospel. Have you ever considered how important the resurrection is? You see, the miracle of the resurrection secured the hope of every believer, and it's even a sign for unbelievers. The apostles believed that Christ's resurrection was so important that it became the heart of their message. With confidence, they went forth knowing their message was true, and they turned the world upside down with the gospel. They faced death and persecution along the way. Some Christians only think about the resurrection on Easter Sunday. It should always be central to the gospel. Sadly, many people who've been taught evolution have rejected the Bible's history, including the message of the resurrection. This week, we'll look at the biblical evidence for Christ's resurrection.
Want to learn more about the life of Christ? Visit our Bible-defending website at answersingenesis.org. Learn what Christ has done for us at answersingenesis.org.
The Resurrection, Many Infallible Proofs. This is Ken Ham, and we're building a full-size Noah's Ark near Cincinnati. In the book of Acts, Luke wrote that Jesus presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs. Now, the Greek word for infallible proofs is a term that refers to logic. It means that something is convincing. So what were these proofs of Christ's resurrection? Well, before we can answer, think about what it would take to convince you that someone became alive again after dying. The best evidence would be to spend time with him. You'd want to see him walk and talk. You know, that's exactly what Luke tells us. These infallible proofs are Christ's many visitations after his resurrection. He appeared first to his disciples and many others. And in most cases, Jesus did more than just appear to people. But that's for tomorrow.
Want to learn more about the life of Christ? Visit our website at answersingenesis.org and learn about our future full-size Noah's Ark. Go to answersingenesis.org.
Christ's post-resurrection appearances. This is Ken Ham, author of The Lie and the new book, 6 Days. Yesterday we learned that the Bible's infallible proofs of Christ's resurrection are his appearances afterwards. And you know, the New Testament shows us that Jesus appeared to some of his followers on at least 10 occasions before he ascended to heaven. Now, Christ didn't just appear before people. His followers worshipped him and clung to his feet. Christ showed them the scars on his hands, feet, and side, and he even invited Thomas to touch them. He also ate with the disciples. The Apostle Paul tells us that Christ appeared to over 500 people at one time. You see, Christ offered infallible proofs of his resurrection, because the resurrection confirms our faith. But how do we know that we can trust these testimonies? Well, that's tomorrow.
How do we even know the Bible is true? Visit our large, award-winning website. Learn more about the resurrection of Christ at answersingenesis.org.
Can we really trust the Bible's testimony? This is Ken Ham, a missionary to our evolutionized culture, even the church. You know, some skeptics claim that the idea of the resurrection was just a legend, that it grew for several decades before it was written down. So how do we know that what the Bible says is true? Well, the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15 that Christ had appeared to over 500 people at once. If the church back then didn't believe Paul's testimony, they could have asked numerous eyewitnesses. Paul also said that he'd received his message from Jesus and that it was confirmed by Peter and James just 5 years after Christ's death and resurrection. And 5 years is far too short a time for an entire legend to develop. Yes, the Bible is the Word of God, and we can trust what it says.
You'll learn more about why we can trust the Bible when you visit our faith-affirming website, answersingenesis.org. You'll be encouraged in your faith at answersingenesis.org.
Humanity's Unbelieving Heart. This is Ken Ham, author of the best-selling book on the age of the earth, 6 Days. Even though the Bible presents what it calls many infallible proofs of Christ's resurrection, skeptics still refuse to believe it. But the problem isn't with the evidence. After all, the risen Jesus appeared to people many times. The problem is with humanity's rebellious heart. Jesus addresses this heart problem in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. In the parable, Abraham says of unbelievers, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rise from the dead." But Christ did come to earth as the God-man. He lived a perfect life, died a criminal's death on the cross, and was raised to life again 3 days later. The Bible offers much evidence to confirm this.
You'll learn more about the miracle of Christ's resurrection when you visit our large Bible-defending website, answersingenesis.org. You'll be encouraged at answersingenesis.org.
Meet Mr. Nice Guy. You think you're nice? This guy is really nice.
Well, I try to do what's right.
He's so nice that if good people get to heaven, he'll be the first in line.
Ah, shucks.
So, Mr. Nice Guy, have you kept the Ten Commandments?
Pretty much.
Do you mind if we take a look at them and maybe see how nice you really are?
Okay.
Great. Here's one. You shall not lie. Mr. Nice Guy, have you ever told a lie?
Well, yeah. Who hasn't?
What do you call somebody who tells lies?
A liar.
All right. How about another commandment? You shall not steal. Have you ever stolen anything, even once?
Nope.
But you just told me you're a liar.
Well, I did steal some candy once when I was a kid.
And what do you call someone who steals?
A thief.
All right. Let's try another one. You shall not commit adultery.
Oh, that's easy. I'd never cheat on my wife.
Hi, handsome.
Oh, baby!
Jesus said, if you even look at a woman with lust, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart.
Oh, right.
One more. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Have you ever used God's name to curse?
Oh, my.
That, Mr. Nice Guy, is called blasphemy. God gave you life and breath and everything you have, and you've dragged his name through the dirt. So, by your own admission, you're a liar, a thief, a blasphemer, and an adulterer at heart. And that's just four of the Ten Commandments.
Okay, so I'm not perfect.
Well, actually, it's worse than that. Suppose we could put a chip in your brain that would record all your private thoughts for an entire week and then play those thoughts on a giant movie screen for all your friends and family to see.
That would be embarrassing.
Yeah, I know. The Bible says God knows everything, even the secret thoughts of your heart.
Well, compared to some people, I'm a saint.
Yeah, that's true. But this is God's law, not other people. Besides, even if you sin just five times a day in 1 year, that's 1,825 sins. And if you live to be 70 years old, you'll have broken God's law over 127,000 times. You'll have to answer for every sin on Judgment Day, when the Bible says each of us will give an account of himself to God.
But God will forgive me, right?
Well, let's try that in court.
Hey, look, I know I keep breaking the law, but hey, catch up. Well, you know, just let it slide.
Only a corrupt judge would buy that. A good judge would say,
justice demands that you pay for your crimes.
God's not a corrupt judge. He's a holy, righteous judge. He hates sin. Jesus warned that on Judgment Day, everyone who had sinned against God would justly end up in a terrible place called hell. And there will be no escape for all eternity.
Well, then, how can anybody get to heaven?
There's only one way. God loved the world so much that he sent his son Jesus to live a perfect life. He never sinned, not even once. Then, Jesus offered to take the punishment for guilty sinners. He was whipped and beaten and nailed to a cross and died so that justice would be served and sinners could go free. Then Jesus rose from the grave and defeated death. You can't earn eternal life. It's God's gift to everyone who will humble themselves and come to Jesus. He'll forgive you, wash you clean, and give you a new heart with new desires. The Bible says if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Stop living for yourself. Turn from your sins and come to Jesus. Then read your Bible and obey it. Find a good church to help you grow. And then go out and tell other people the good news.
Each week, we send out a free ministry update, and it contains a short video clip. Ray finds colorful characters, he witnesses to them, and then I chalk talk the clip. Here's some samples.
Do you believe in God?
Of course.
I believe God actually learns through us.
There's a heaven right here.
Multiple times a day, God hugs me.
What planet are you living on?
I have no problem standing before the Lord as I am.
After seeing new clips each week and understanding the biblical principles behind them, you will end up saying, I could do that. There's no charge for the update. Just go here and sign up here, and we'll send it to you every week.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only forgotten son.
Also, while you're there, check out the School of Biblical Evangelism.
The School of Biblical Evangelism is a full-blown online evangelism course. It'll help you overcome your fears. It'll help give you the answers to the 100 most commonly asked questions and objections to the Christian faith.
that was the presentation on our YouTube person. You can also see that on YouTube if you want to see the video of it. And thanks for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. It's presented by livingwaters.com. Livingwaters, LivingWaters.com. And remember, check us out at truthbetoldradio.com, truthbetoldradio.com. And, well, like we had Jova McKenzie. Remember, you could download all our shows on iTunes for free, so even this one. And thanks for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. This is Go Fish with all my heart here on Truth Be Told Radio. Once again, that's All My Heart on Truth Be Told Radio. Gonna do one more by Go Fish. This is Ten Commandment Boogie.
Halfway through with one that's just for you. Listen to your mom and dad, 'cause what they say.
No, I'm going to play one from Shylin. This is Glory to God here on Trippy Toll Radio.
Not to us, not to us, but to your name be the glory. Not to us, not to us, but to your name be the glory. Not to us, not to us, but to your name be the glory. To your name be the glory. To your name be the glory. Not to us, not to us, but to your name be the glory. Not to us, not to us, but to your name be the glory. Not to us, not to us, but to your name be the glory. To your name be the glory. To your name be the glory. Not to us, not to us, but to your name be the glory. But to your name be the glory. Not to us, not to us. But to your name be the glory. To your name be the glory. To your name be the glory. Not to us, not to us. But to your name be the glory. Not to us, not to us. But to your name be the glory. Not to us, not to us. But to your name be the glory. To your name be the glory. To your name be the glory. Let us begin. How should we start? Brightness shining out of the dark. It shines in our hearts, providing a spark. His might incites the light to impart. Takes us back to Genesis 1. Angels clapped and hymns they were sung. Face the facts, he's second to none. In the beginning, position the sun. Up in the sky, hovering high. The light's too bright. Cover your eyes. Type of sight that none can devise. This righteous night is lovely and wise. Yeah. It's seen in the stars. Seen in the galaxy, seen in quasars. Neptune, Uranus, and Pluto, and Jupiter. Mercury, Saturn, and Venus, and Mars. Back to the earth, it shows in the trees. Each of the leaves blows in the breeze. Locusts and bees, ocean and seas. All the result of Jehovah's decrees. Observe the way his word creates, preserves and shapes, determines fates, reverberates that urgent race, the earth that shakes with fervent quakes. Imagine it, I can't explain the half of it, our brains can't even fathom it, and language is inadequate. To characterize the Lord on the throne, with spiritual eyes the story is known, from him and through him and to him is everything, show me the God with the glory alone. Glory alone, glory alone, glory alone, glory alone. From him and through him and to him is everything, show me the God with the glory alone. Not to us, but to your name be the glory. But to your name be the glory. Not to us, not to us. But to your name be the glory. To your name be the glory. To your name be the glory. Not to us, not to us. But to your name be the glory. Not to us, not to us. But to your name be the glory. Not to us, not to us. But to your name be the glory. To your name be the glory. To your name be the glory. Not to us, not to us. But to your name be the glory. Not to us, not to us. But to your name be the glory. Not to us, not to us. But to your name be the glory. Your name be the glory. Your name be the glory. Not to us, not to us. But to your name be the glory. Not to us, not to us. But to your name be the glory. Not to us, not to us. But to your name be the glory. Your name be the glory. Your name be the glory. Consider the God who was there, possessing the glory that's not to be shared. God versus anyone, not even fair. How could you dare to try to compare? The self-existent, self-sufficient, omnipotent, beneficent, faithful God whose word we can trust. Perfectly holy and perfectly just. His beauty, there's no end to it. Transcendence is infinite. Knowledge and wisdom intricate. Steadfast love is intimate. We see in his laws, he is the boss. Nothing about him is evil or false. Pure perfection, zero flaws. All of his attributes meet at the cross. The place where Jesus Christ was smashed to satisfy God's righteous wrath. Rose from the grave on my behalf. Through faith in Christ, he lights our path. Makes believe it's part of his fam. How does a holy God part of the man? Perhaps even harder to understand. From the beginning was part of his plan. Imagine it, I can't explain the half of it. Our brains can't even fathom it. And language is inadequate. To characterize the Lord on the throne, with spiritual eyes the story is known. From him and through him and to him is everything. Surely the God be the glory alone. Glory alone, glory alone, glory alone, glory alone. From him and through him and to him is everything. Surely the God be the glory alone. Not to us, not to us, but to your name be the glory. Your name be the glory. Not to us, not to us, but to your name be the glory. To your name be the glory. To your name be the glory. Not to us, not to us, but to your name be the glory. Not to us, not to us, but to your name be the glory. Not to us, not to us, but to your name be the glory. To your name be the glory. To your name be the glory. Not to us, not to us, but to your name be the glory. Not to us, not to us, but to your name be the glory. Not to us, not to us, but to your name be the glory. To your name be the glory. But to your name be the glory. Not to us, not to us. But to your name be the glory. Not to us, not to us. But to your name be the glory. To your name be the glory. To your name be the glory.
Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned, yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come.
The curse from my birth, sinning from the beginning, the womb to the tomb, the grave to the grave, astray every day, every breath brings death, and Adam all die, and Adam all die. We're rebels like the devil, scheming like demons, prideful with our idols, disgusting with our lusting, twisted and sensitive, selfish and helpless, and Adam all die, and Adam all die.
Yeah. Everybody knows that they're guilty. Our conscience condemns us, shows us we're filthy. Truth be told, we really have no answers for why we fall short of our own moral standards. The evidence for God is simply bountiful, and it's illogical to think we won't be held accountable. A universal day of judgment approaches. Any rational notion of justice will presuppose this. And deep down inside, everybody knows this, but we disregard it, cause our deeds are atrocious. We prefer the vicious, our words are malicious, our slurs pernicious. We find the absurd delicious, depraved in our appetites. The things we crave are lacking light, cause sin got us enslaved and shackled tight. And if we ought to understand the fruit, we need to go back and examine the root. Yo.
The curse from my birth, sinning from the beginning, the womb to the tomb, the grave to the grave, astray every day, every breath brings death, and Adam all die, and Adam all die. We're rebels like the devil, scheming like demons, prideful with our idols, disgusting with our lusting, twisted and sensitive, selfish and helpless, and Adam all die, and Adam all die.
The world we live in wasn't always like this. The early days had perfect righteousness and bright bliss. Man and woman under God ruled government at first, bubbling with mirth, immersed in loving with no hurts. God gave what theologians call the covenant of works, forbidden fruit. The day you eat of it, you'll be cursed. Husband wasn't alert. Wife lacked discernment, entrapped by the serpent, and that was the first sin. The consequences were monumental. In fact, I'm not convinced they had a clue of what they gotten into. Their eyes were open more, truth in the lies. To their surprise, they didn't get the prize they were hoping for. They see their nakedness and now regret it. They tried to cover their guilt and then blame shift. How pathetic. And it's a true story. You want some evidence? We've been doing the same thing ever since. Yo.
The curse from my birth, sinning from the beginning, the womb to the tomb, the grave to the grave, astray every day, every breath brings death, and Adam all die, and Adam all die. We're rebels like the devil, scheming like demons, prideful with our idols, disgusting with our lusting, twisted and sensitive, selfish and helpless, and Adam all die, and Adam all die.
We talk Adam and Eve, cats think we throw it off, really. They don't think it relates to thugs in North Philly, but it's like Switchfoot said, we were meant to live. But in the garden, Adam was our representative. So when the judge executed the sentence, Adam's guilt was imputed to his descendants. Global calamity, major debt, pain, regret, the reign of death, total depravity. Yes, I'm aware that cats were not there, which opens the door to charges of that's not fair. But God is not subject to fallen notions of fairness. Besides, when it comes to God's glory, most we care less. We can't measure how we chase sand treasures and ban pleasures, similar to our ancestors. So instead of saying, if you were there, what you would do, seek your refuge in Adam number two, number two, number two, number two, number two.
The curse from my birth, sinning from the beginning, the womb to the tomb, the grave to the grave, astray every day, every breath brings death, and Adam all die, and Adam all die. We're rebels like the devil, scheming like demons, prideful with our idols, disgusting with our lusting, twisted and sensitive, selfish and helpless, and Adam all die, and Adam all die.
The problem with the human race is not most deeply that everybody does various kinds of sins. Behind all of our depravity, behind all of our guilt, behind all of our personal sinning, there is this mysterious connection or union with Adam, our father, who sinned, and we being in him in some mysterious way also sinned and died and are condemned. What Christ has done for all who are in him is far greater than what Adam did for all who were in him. It's all about the superiority of the work of Christ for those who are in him over against what happened to all who were in Adam.
that was Shannon with In Adam I'll Die. You can check out him at lampmode.com, lampmode.com, and his name spelled Shai and then Linne. And here's me, Melissa Cantrola, your host on Truth Be Told Radio. And we're going to do one by Timothy Brindle. This one's called The Faithfulness of Christ.
Stubborn, stiff-necked sinner who flirts with death. Any more goodness for me to smell and taste? Or have I tried up all the wells of grace? Could your fountain of love be empty? Jesus, is there any more of your blood to cleanse me? As soon as I thought I got the sin beat, I'm knocked from my feet and dropping in deep. Cause I played the whore and despised your glory. Even though you've only shown kindness towards me, I belittled your worth and spurned your Bible. Plus I turned aside to worthless idols. But in the mountains of your riches, there is abundant grace and storehouses of forgiveness. So I'm no longer doubting calamity. I thank you that I'm not kicked out of your family. I'm that snotty-nosed kid who trips, my knees are cut. But you never leave me down, you lift and clean me up. So I'm running back to the cross, where you suffered wrath for my sin. I can't fathom the cost. So when the enemies condemning me, cause I offended thee, I remember that my penalty was paid. So the judge ain't mad, cause he took out his anger on you like you were his punching bag. That your spirit convicts us to return back to you where you hear us and fix us. Your compassion is deep. After I weep, you're faithful to put me back on my feet. But this song is dedicated to all my fellow brothers and sisters who are devastated from falling. Be thankful, Jesus is so gracious. He's faithful even when we're faithless. We're not saved in accordance to our performance. Otherwise, no one would have assurance. We're saved through faith in Christ's finished work, which is his perfect life and sacrifice to forgive our dirt. So please be relieved. God sees you in Christ with the righteousness that he achieved. So if you fall, repent, he'll re-heal again. Then get back on your feet and keep killing sin. Don't stay down, look to the cross and the gospel. Get up, renew, but be cautious and watchful. And truly die to your pride. Ask the Lord to create a clean heart and new desires inside. And recall how sin's deceit is so grievous. No strive and press on to know Jesus. Giving praise to the King who is risen. Singing, blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven.
That was, again, Timothy Brindle with The Faithfulness of Christ here on Truth Be Told Radio. I want to share a quote from Ray Comfort. Says, I appreciate what I am in Christ because I know what I am without him. And even, I think Shannon says it, or I think he says it causes me to tremble. So, thinking, basically what we are in our sin or even without Jesus. Thanks for listening. Truth Be Told Radio. I'm going to do one now by, this is Go Fish, and it's called Kicking It Old School here on Truth Be Told Radio.
We kick it old school. 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 We kick it old school.
Come on, come on, don't miss the latest craze. Hit it for a minute, then it's on to the next phase. Easy come, easy go, the marketers will hack it. The only change that comes winds up in a pocket. Pop on the wagon, try the hip thing. All the while we're missing all the joy that God can bring. You can take the new stuff, you can keep the fluff. The Bible is our tool and we're here to kick it old school. Here we go. Like a moldy piece of bread, we act as if the holy word of God is all but dead. All we need to know is right there on the pages. Why are we obsessed with who the guy on stage is?
Dance the hottest dance, get the latest buzzy. You're gonna find out Jesus wasn't very fuzzy, was he?
You can take the new stuff, you can keep the flub. The Bible is our tool and we're here to kick it old school. If you believe the Bible's true,
you're kicking it old school.
And life's not all about you,
you're kicking it old school.
If you know you're in a bad spot,
you're kicking it old school.
And you need the grace of God's God,
you're kicking it old school.
You pray to God on your knees,
you're kicking it old school.
You make no apology,
you're kicking it old school.
There's one more thing to say.
They're just telling my part, says Bible Thumping. That makes me think of a guy. There's this guy on YouTube called Bible Thumping Wingnut. He's pretty funny. He does, talks out against atheists. And check him there on YouTube. And that was Kicking Old School by Go Fish. And you can check out them at gofishguys.com. G-U-I-S, that's G-O-F-I-S-H-G-U-I-S.com. And let's see, I'm going to do one more by Go Fish. This is called Fruit of the Spirit here on Trippy Toll Radio.
Yeah.
Now we're going to do one by Shylin. This one of my favorites by him. This is the one called Penelope Judd here on Truth Be Told Radio. Sorry, I'm trying to find it. Here it goes. Thank you for Truth Be Told Radio. This is Shylin again with Penelope Judd here on Truth Be Told Radio.
Good morning, boys and girls. Okay, I need you to settle down now. Guess what? I have a story for you. About a little girl. You ready? Once upon a time, in a distant land, far beyond the sea, where there lived no man or woman. In fact, lo and behold, the oldest person there was only 12 years old, because all the grown-ups had washed away in a flood. One town in particular there was called Mud, because every sister, cousin, and brother, from head to toe in mud, they were covered. But anyway, in this town called Mud, there lived a little girl named Penelope Judd. Now Penelope was a very sad, sad girl, because she was living in a bad, bad world, where kids teased each other and acted really mean. They lied, cheated, and stole, and their speech was obscene. With no grown-ups around, nobody was really wise, so every kid did what was right in their own eyes. Penelope would cry, like every single day. No matter what she did, the tears wouldn't go away. But deep down in her heart, she hoped it would get better, because of what her grandpa had written in the letter. He said, "Penelope, it's great news that I bring. On the mountaintop, there lives a great king. The king has a son, and being a proud father, he's gonna throw the prince a huge party in his honor. But the good part, and I hope it gets you excited, Penelope Judd, you're officially invited. He's sending a dog, he'll tell you all you need to know. Just have your bags packed and be ready to go." It had been such a long time Penelope was waiting. She wondered if the letter was true or just faking. But one day she was playing outside, and to a great surprise, the dove had arrived. He said, "Off we go, with no delay. Don't let nobody try to make you stay. We're gonna see the king, we're on our way. And all the old things gonna pass away. Your turn,
off
your turn.
We go, with no delay. Don't let nobody try to make you stay. We're gonna see the king, we're on our way. And all the old things gonna pass away."
The dove told her that he was sent by the king. If she wanted to go, she had to run and grab her things. Penelope said, "Okay, I'll be right back." Ran into the house and came back out with her knapsack. The dove said,
"Penelope, the party is in a day. Stay alert, follow me, and I'll lead the way."
So as he flew and Penelope walked the path, she waved goodbye to her friends and they started to laugh. They said that she was silly for following the dove, just to go to some stupid party up above. Penelope and the dove continue on their way, but then she got sad, cause part of her wanted to stay. But then she thought to herself, "Why would I want to stay? Cause all they do is play in the mud all day. And while they're doing that, I'm going to see the king." It made Penelope so happy she started to sing. She said,
"Off I go with no delay. And ain't nobody gonna make me stay. I'm going to see the king, I'm on my way. And all the old things gonna pass away."
Your turn. Walking for a long time, they reached the foot of the mountain and they started to climb. Penelope got scared, not sure if she could keep going because the mountain was very, very steep. On top of that, it was now dark outside. The dove said,
"Keep your eyes on me, I'll be your guide."
Getting to the top was a difficult trip, but the dove was there to pick her up whenever she slipped. And she was so excited when they got near the top that she didn't even stop when her knapsack dropped. The dove led her to the palace and said,
"Farewell, see you inside."
He flew away, Penelope rang the bell. A huge angel answered, looked her up and down. She knew something was wrong because he had a big frown.
Can I help you, ma'am?
Yes, I'm here for the party. I have an invitation.
He said, I'm so sorry. There's no way that I can let you through these doors. The king won't let anyone dirty up his floor. She didn't understand, so without coming near her, he reached into his pocket and he pulled out a mirror. And for the very first time, she saw that she was dirty. The palace was spotless. She knew she wasn't worthy. As the angel continued,
I'm sorry, little friend, but
a voice inside the party said, you can let her in. The next thing she knew, the prince himself was at the door. He looked at her, smiled, and said,
there's room for one more.
He reached out and touched her. Instantly, she was clean, wearing the brightest robe that she had ever seen. If the mud kids had seen it, they would have gone blind. Where'd you get it? She asked. He said,
actually, it's mine.
And as he let her in through the palace door, he sang the sweetest song she ever heard before. He said,
laid aside my crown. There came a mud kid, traveled to your town. They kicked me out, didn't want me around. But those who love me get to share my crown.
You turn, you turn.
Long ago, laid aside his crown. There came a mud kid, traveled to our town.
And gracious, mercy and grace, commonly used words,
yeah.
And if we're not careful, over time they lose their significance.
That's right.
But we should never fail to be amazed that God has revealed these glorious attributes to
us. Thank you, Lord.
Let's talk about it, yeah. I gotta say this, God is gracious. That's not just a doctrine statement, but my heartfelt proclamation of a God who saves men without obligation from sin's domination and the bonds of Satan.
Yeah.
Nobody sins in moderation. That's obvious from my evil thoughts to our conversation. We were dead, we needed more than an operation. We had to be brought out the grave and made alive, awakened. It's quite amazing how in salvation, each person of the Trinity contributes like a compilation. The Father, he elected me. Jesus blessed for me and regenerated. Is the Holy Spirit confirmation. So we repent of our abomination.
Yeah.
Consecration to the God who's exalted above the constellation. The observation of the congregation is God is gracious with a lot of patience, so we gotta praise him, yo.
We'll forever praise his mercy and grace. Praise the Lord for his mercy and grace. His mercy and grace. And Christ took the curse in our place. Praise the Lord for his mercy and grace. We'll forever praise his mercy and grace. Praise the Lord for his mercy and grace. His mercy and grace. And Christ took the curse in our place. Praise the Lord for his mercy and grace.
Yeah. When I speak of God's mercy, I'm speaking of his tendency to tenderly express empathy towards his enemies. Whether it be mentally or outright affinity, we effectively deserve hell for our enmity. Adam left a legacy of sin. Since we share in his pedigree, we therefore share in his destiny. If God didn't intervene, we'd all perish eventually. In his great mercy, he gave us the remedy. Christ lived sinlessly, then he paid the penalty. His assassination was public like John Kennedy. Rose on the third day, exalted to the heavenly. Repentance, you tend to be deleted from his memory. Gain a new identity, eternal serenity. Now it's clear we should volunteer like Tennessee to spread his fame endlessly. The message is essentially a merciful God send his son to set sinners free.
We'll forever praise his mercy and grace. Praise the Lord for his mercy and grace. His mercy and grace. And Christ took the curse in our place. Praise the Lord for his mercy and grace. We'll forever praise his mercy and grace. Praise the Lord for his mercy and grace. His mercy and grace. And Christ took the curse in our place. Praise the Lord for his mercy and grace.
In mercy, Christ saw our wretched condition, but instead of giving us death for our sinning, in grace, his blood paid the debt that's infinite. Now resurrected with Christ and blessed because we're in him.
Mercy,
Christ turned the Father's anger.
Grace,
Christ earned us all his favor. And since Christ kept the precepts of the law, because of his perfection, we're accepted by God.
Yeah.
Real righteousness he gladly gives us. The Father happily lavishes this. Instead of filthy rags or dad's forgiveness, the ultimate story of rags to riches. His grace displayed in saving the workmen.
Behold,
God's riches of grace are our person.
Jesus.
Christ about and abounding in his grace. Over my thousand and mountains of mistake.
Hallelujah.
In pleasure, he's immeasurably gracious. Now we're seated with Jesus in the heavenly places.
changed him. He daily gives the grace of sanctification.
Amen.
Forever we'll praise the I Am, who gave us grace in the Lamb before the ages began. So shout with that, resume the chorus, cause of the cross all his attributes are for us.
We'll forever praise his mercy and grace. Praise the Lord for his mercy and grace. His mercy and grace. And Christ took the curse in our place. Praise the Lord for his mercy and grace. We'll forever praise his mercy and grace. Praise the Lord for his mercy and grace. His mercy and grace. And Christ took the curse in our place. Praise the Lord for his mercy and grace.
Yo, Tim, that was a banging verse, B.
Nah, remember, I'm a sinner, saved by mercy.
What's mercy?
It's not getting what we deserve, cause Christ already suffered the judgment and curse.
Ah.
But Shy, yo, you blazed it, eh?
Praise God, I'm just a sinner, saved by grace.
Well, define grace.
Our redemption price immense. Grace stands for God's riches at Christ's expense.
Praise his mercy and grace, come on. Praise his mercy and grace.
That was Mercy and Grace by Shylin. Thanks for listening to Trippy Toll Radio. I am going to do one. It's called Doxology Intro by Shylin. Here on Trippy Toll Radio.
Theology is the study of God, and it's very important. Doxology is an expression of praise to God. So, the point here is that all theology should ultimately lead to doxology. If theology doesn't lead to doxology, then we've actually missed the point of theology. So if you have theology without doxology, you just have dead, cold orthodoxy, which is horrible, right? On the other side, you have the people who say, forget about theology, I just want to praise, right? But if you have doxology without theology, you actually have idolatry. Because it's just a random expression of praise, but it's not actually informed by the truth of who God is. So God is concerned with both. He's concerned with an accurate understanding of him, and that accurate understanding of him leading to a response of praise, adoration, and worship towards him.
Check out Shylin at Shylin.com, Shylinne, and also on his record label, lampmode.com, lampmode.com. Thanks for listening to Trippy Toll Radio. I'm your hostess, Melissa Cantrella, and we're almost about done with the show. So I want to remind you, you can check us out at truthbetollradio.com. truthbetollradio.com and on Twitter as truthbetollradio, but it's just the B, not B-E, so it's truth, the letter B, told radio. And my personal Twitter is bondservant4jc, B-O-N-D-S-E-R-V-A-N-T, the number 4, and then JC. And then also we're on Facebook, as Truth Be Told Radio. And let's see. And my personal website is smilesandstuff.com, SmilesandStuff.com. Earlier I mentioned a little bit about my testimony. You could check out my full testimony there on smilesandstuff.com. So please check that out. Thanks for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. We're going to go out as we came in with Goldfish singing the B-I-B-L-E. And thanks for seeing again, Truth Be Told Radio, and bye for now.
The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. B-I-B-L-E.